From little acorns, mighty oaks grow, massive, intrusive oaks. The acorn in this metaphor was the 1996 release of the game Quake, a first-person shooter with a delicious twist. The developers opened up the game's code to players so they could make new levels and even new games. Instead, players began to make movies.
I must have her.
Beware, my friend. She is not property. For your thoughts to become reality, you require mutual consent, or you may find yourself in trouble with the server administrator.
I want to.
Copulate, score, fornicate.
Yes. Yes.
Soon the creators of games like The Sims and World of Warcraft began making their games more friendly to movie makers, and the genre of homemade films based on them was redubbed machinima, a mashup of machine and cinema. In 2000, Scotsman Hugh Hancock registered machinima.com as a hub for like-minded dabblers. In 2006, he sold it to the half-brothers Alan and Philip Debevoise. That's when the acorn, in my metaphor, becomes that massive sidewalk-cracking oak. The Debevoise began hosting Machinima's videos on YouTube, attracting a massive audience, venture capital, and even throwing the artists some advertising bucks. But for those bucks, many creators had to sign lifetime contracts. The mighty oak is crushing them. Tessa Stewart wrote all about Rage Against the Machinima in the LA Weekly. She says going on YouTube seemed like a great idea at the time.
Right. It was really great timing for Machinima to become one of the first multi-channel networks on YouTube.
The biggest complaint against Machinima is the contracts that it has inked with its partners. Tell me about Ben Vakas.
He started as a hunter in World of Warcraft, a gamer, and began making videos to build on his celebrity within World of Warcraft. He became very popular, and Machinima approached him to become a partner.
They said they would put ads on his videos, and he'd get a cut of the revenue generated from those ads, and Vakas signed the contract with the company. But I guess he didn't really read the contract.
He didn't read the contract, and his complaint is indicative of many, many complaints that have surfaced against Machinima, that this contract didn't have an end date. It could only be severed by Machinima, and it wasn't paying him very much.
The company would own the rights to whatever videos he posts on YouTube for the rest of his life and beyond, in perpetuity, throughout the universe, in all forms of media now known or hereafter devised.
They said that my contract is completely enforceable. I can't get out of it. They said I'm with them for the rest of my life, that I'm with them forever. I can't afford a lawyer. They're all the way in California. I'm all the way in England. If I'm locked down to Machinima for the rest of my life, and if I've got no freedom, then I don't want to make videos anymore.
He could have made videos elsewhere and not brought his subscribers with him. But part of the thing that's so interesting about Ben Vakas and his cohorts on YouTube is that they've found a way to really leverage their subscriber base to make the kind of changes that they want to see. They are very PR savvy.
So tell me how the gamer community reacted.
They were outraged. There's another YouTube celebrity known online as Athene. He had been an early Machinima partner, and he felt that this was indicative of a lot of complaints against Machinima.
If things are wrong, I'm not the kind of guy that just ignores it or don't want to go to confrontation. This is a very hard decision, and I've been thinking about it. The only thing that I can do, the only thing that feels right now, is to leave Machinima.
That reverberated through the community with a lot of force.
Because he had more than 500,000 subscribers and something like 382 million views.
He's a bona fide YouTube celebrity. For him to say publicly that he was leaving Machinima was a big deal to the community. The outrage is a trend, and I think Machinima is responding to it by trying to change their contracts. They sent new contracts out that had a fixed term to all 6,000-plus partners. A lot of people felt like they were being walked from contracts that were not enforceable into contracts that were enforceable.
So now they're offering termination dates so that they can actually enforce contracts that are unfair in other ways.
That's what a lot of lawyers say.
You compared the practices of these big YouTube networks to the practices of Hollywood in the 30s and 40s.
In the early days of the Hollywood studio system, the studios were not just making the films, they also owned the means of distribution for the films. Films had a much shorter theatrical run at that point, so more films had to be made as quickly as possible. The studios felt like they couldn't negotiate contracts one by one with each star, so they would put stars on an option contract. It was usually a term of 7 years, and if the studio was happy with them, they would renew the option, but the star couldn't break the contract. It was seen as a form of bondage. It was the source of several lawsuits. The Olivia de Havilland lawsuit was probably the most famous one. She was on an option contract, I believe it was with Warner Brothers. They kept offering her these more supporting roles, and she didn't like them, and she couldn't go anywhere else.
He has grown greedier with the years. The first time, he only wanted my money. Now he wants my love, too.
Maybe Vakis sees himself as the modern equivalent of Olivia de Havilland. After the world got to hear the sorrows of young Vakis, what happened to him?
In October, he was released from his contract with Machinima, but only after he had a lawyer negotiate on his behalf. He has a new channel, and he has a banner on his old channel telling his old subscribers, click here to my new channel. He's with a new network called Union for Gamers that has taken a lot of former Machinimators.
How do networks like Machinima address the allegations that they're making money off the backs of young, naive YouTube stars?
Well, they say that they are subsidizing the careers of a lot of non-YouTube stars, that they sign YouTube stars when they're obscure, and as they become bigger, they might demand more money, but they're still signing other people who are obscure and paying them to advertise on their videos. Machinima is struggling to find a contract that can serve both the stars and the lesser-known partners.
Do you think if Olivia de Havilland had had YouTube, she could have made an appeal and not had her career destroyed?
I think she could have, yeah. If you can leverage the massive fan base that you have access to through YouTube, I think a lot of things are possible.
Tessa, thank you very much.
Thank you, Brooke.
Tessa Stewart wrote Rage Against Machinima for the LA Weekly, where she was a writer. Now she's a reporter for BuzzFeed.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing or
politics,
country music,
hockey,
sex. Of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.